Seventh Day Intensive Seminar, Lecture 1, School of the Master. Review, revise, reveal who I now am. Reveal, revise, reveal who I now am. The School of the Master 7-Day Intensive Seminar is all about discipline. It's all about, you can have anything you want as long as you keep your consciousness directly one-pointed on what you want. Now, you say, well, Herb, this is what you've taught us all these years, what you shared with us again and again and again, and it is. This is nothing new. This is nothing new, but we're going to go at it again. Maybe this time we'll follow it. Now, you're doing what? What's that, please? I think Ellen is trying to say that our circle is too wide, and you may change that at any time you want later, but right at the moment, just leave it alone. Okay. All right, here we go. Lecture 1, review, revise, reveal who I now am. Well, now, every one of us know that if we put a cause in motion, we should get an effect. No matter what the cause may be, we should get an effect. No matter what the cause may be, some kind of an effect should come from it. Some kind. Well, now, recently we've been learning that there are 10,000 stem cells born in our brain every day. 10,000 brand new stem cells born in our brain every day. Now, so what? So what? So what if there's 10,000 brains? That's been going on since we were born. That's been going on throughout all of time to every human being who ever existed. Now, I say to Gregor, Gregor, you're a genius. And Gregor smiles and says, don't I wish, you know? Now, as long as Gregor wants to play that game, he will be playing it all by himself. He won't be playing it with me. Because I'm a very mean person. I see the truth about you. And I tell you the truth about you. And if you want to pretend that the truth is not the truth, then that's okay. I tell Heinz, Heinz, you're whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function of your body is whole and perfect. You're fantastic. And Heinz looks at me and he says, oi, oi, oi. Where has he been looking, you know? Certainly he hasn't been looking at my big toe. He didn't realize that I stubbed it and it's all bloody, you know? Well, now, I did too. I looked right at your big toe and I saw it whole and perfect. I saw your original purity and integrity. I did not see the appearance of the bloody toe. How long will he have a bloody toe? A day or two, maybe, if that long. Maybe he'll clean up the toe right away and put a bandage on it. You can't even see it. It'll be done right away. But how long are you going to hold on to the fact that you're not whole and perfect? Just because of that bloody toe that you did. Now, meanwhile, you can make some more bloody toes, you know. What is it that you want? Ellen, you are the most fabulous manager of a business here at the university of any person on the face of the earth. No one has ever done it as well as you, and no one ever will do it as well as you, because you're just a magical lady.
Yes.
Good. Now, Ellen doesn't really believe that, because if she really believed it, she wouldn't say yes. She would just look at me and smile, oh, you know that too? You know that too? Yeah. And Ellen said it on the phone. She was talking to a lady on the phone, and the lady said, bah, 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 I got all these problems. And Ellen said, well, now just for instance, here's how you would handle it. Here's how you'd handle it if you're having trouble with your husband. How did you know it's my husband? Well, Ellen, instead of saying, because I am divine and I listen to the divine within me, and the divine within me said to say husband to you, and so therefore I said husband. I didn't say it because I'm stupid. I said it because I listened to the divine within. But you see, she hasn't learned to do that. She too was amazed. Oh, it's your husband? Good. I guessed right. I guessed right. No? And no, you didn't guess right. You knew right in your heart and your soul and your being that it was that. And it's not because normally that's the case. It's because you knew. Because it could just as easily have been something else. It could just as easily have been that her daughter did this, or her son did this, or her mother or father or somebody else did this. Because we live in a family of many people. But your divine told you, and you acted upon it, but you were startled because it was true. Now, this is what happens to all of us far too often. We're startling because it's true. The School of the Masters is all about living in the now, living the truth about yourself, knowing the truth about yourself, knowing who you are. Now, these 10,000 stem cells in our brain, we've always had them. But we did not put them to work. You know what you did with your stem cells in the past? You said, oh, I'm getting older. I'm getting older. I'm getting this and that. Oh, these problems, oh dear me. Did you ever tell your stem cells, I am ideal, I am perfect, I am wonderful, I am supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Did you ever say that to your stem cells, really? Did you ever say that to yourself, really? And the answer is no. And the reason you didn't say it to yourself is because you felt ludicrous about it. You felt stupid, you felt foolish. And the reason you felt foolish about it is because that's not what you were demonstrating. Do you have a budget large enough to do the things you want to do? No. Do you have health in your body 100% of the time? No. Do you have friends who stand up with you and are a delight to be with under all circumstances? Not that they got to do something for you, but they're just friends. No, you don't. Most people have one friend, if a friend. They don't have any friends. Why don't they have friends? Because they don't know how to be a friend. A friend is someone who loves you just the way you are and doesn't try to change you one teensy-weensy little bit. Now, do you know anybody that you love very dearly as a friend, quote-quote, that you haven't or don't try to change? Anybody? You have somebody that you know like that? That you are not trying to change? Not in one little tiny... Dodo? Yeah, well, she's an ideal. We should all have Dodos in our life. Yeah, she's an ideal lady. But what does she like most about Dodo? That Dodo likes herself. Dodo is absolutely content with herself, absolutely peaceful with herself. Dodo thinks everything she does is just fine. Oh, she's sensitive. She comes over to Irene's house sometimes. She says, oh, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to intrude. And Irene says, you could never intrude. You're an ideal person. But you see, how many people do we know like that? How many in the whole world do we know like that? They just don't exist. And that includes us. That includes us. We're nobody's friend either. Because if anybody is trying to change your life or trying to help you be better or encourage you to be your highest and your best, they're not a friend. A friend is someone who accepts you absolutely just the way you are, without changing anything about you, without offering any advice, without offering anything. It's just like I said to Joseph on the phone, and he's in prison. And Joseph has made a lot of great big changes. And Joseph said, Herb, I would do anything for you. He says, Herb, you have changed my life. You have made my life worthwhile. You have made me feel that I'm a worthwhile person, even though I've got a lot of problems. He says, I'm coming out of them. And he says, Herb, you have done things for me because you really care. And I said, Well, you know, Joseph, if it were necessary, I'd give up my life for you. I wouldn't even bat an eye to it. I'd give up my life for you. Now, do I mean that? You better do. Because for me to see him perfect as he is wonderful. I don't try to change him. He says, Herb, I don't like it that this is happening. And I said, well, as long as you persist in doing that, this is going to happen. But hey, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. Be yourself. As long as you're going to persist in doing that, this is going to happen. And this is fine. I'm not giving him advice. I'm just telling him, hey, from one point of view, that's a cause you're putting in motion. Now, what about you guys? What kind of cause are you putting in motion? What kind of cause are you putting? I see you in your original purity and integrity. It's not hard to do. I see you in your original purity and integrity. I see you just absolutely magnificent. That's why when you come to me and you say you have a problem, I cannot imagine it. Because I see you just fantastic. Every one of you, when you go away from me after talking or counseling or sharing, you feel 10 feet tall. And the only reason you feel 10 feet tall is because I did not judge you in the slightest. I did not tell you what you should do or how you should do it, because I really don't care. I don't care. I just accept you just the way you are, because I have a problem. My problem is I see you whole and perfect. I see you wonderful. Heinz, I see you magnificent. I hope you don't mind. Gregor, I see you the most fulfilled person in the universe. Every dream you have is fulfilled. Every desire in your heart is fulfilled. I see that for you. Ellen, I see you the most calm, peaceful person with no concern about anything, just to be yourself and have fun. Just enjoying every moment. And if you think about anything, then whatever you're thinking about, that's the joy of your moment, and it's perfect. You're thinking about the campus, it's perfect. All the wells are perfect. All the houses are perfect. All the people are perfect. When you think of anything, and you think of people coming and wanting to be on campus for a while, it's perfect. We have the perfect set of rules or program so that people know what to do and how to do it and enjoy doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Sylvia? Do you know, Sylvia is so simple. She is so easy. She is so yuck, you know, just nothing. She has no problem whatsoever. Her life's an open book. It's one smile to another. She goes from page to page, and each page is just one smile bigger than the other. And it's glorious. Can you see what I'm saying? I see her that way, and then she comes and says, Herb, what do we do about this? I said, well, I don't know. I don't care. Doesn't bother me, you know. I don't see anything. And she said, well, we got to do something about it. And I said, okay, you do what your heart tells you to do. Because, Sylvia, you always do the right thing. You understand that?
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
You got a complaint?
No.
No, I didn't think so. No. But you see, that's how I see you. Now, if you see yourself like that, wow, what a great being. What a great life. Yes, what a great life. Now, what about Irene here? Irene has only one problem in her life, and she doesn't know how to handle it, and of course I'll tell her how. And I don't give advice. You have a problem that your heart is so big that you are so in love with yourself and all the world that you just don't find time enough in the day to love everybody. That's who you are. That's who you are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you. Yeah, that's the old big heart that's bumping away there, saying yes, 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 yes. But do you know why you're frustrated at times? And this is a silly thing to be frustrated about. It's silly if any of us ever are frustrated about this. Remember this now. Irene gives her love unconditionally. And once in a while, she checks to see if it's been picked up. You see, don't do that. Once you've given it away, let it play. Let it do what it will in any way. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter. And if I give Gregor a beautiful Mercedes, Cadillac, Mercedes, and I give Rochelle a beautiful Cadillac, and Rochelle wants to drive, and Gregor wants to drive, and I say, Gregor, you got a problem. Rochelle wants you to ride with her, and you want Rochelle to ride with you. So you got a problem. So what are you going to do? Now, what do you think a big lover would do? What do you think? He would give Rochelle his car and ride with her. Right? And then you could ride in your car. And she could ride in your car. Now, would she like that? The thing is, can you see? Always we're trying to think of difficult solutions to problems. And they don't have to have difficult solutions. They can be very simple and very beautiful and very wonderful. And like with Irene, her problem is that she just gives. Irene, if you're in the restaurant and you buy a meal for somebody because you think that they enjoy it, you don't wait around to see if the waitress really gives it to them or if they want to say thank you to you or something. You get out of there. And then when you're out of there, if you ever doubt that the waitress did what you asked her to do, then you are foolish indeed, you know. Or if the waitress says to you in her heart, oh, thank you, lady. I was short one meal where I served it and didn't get paid and I didn't have it on the register. Now I can have it on the register, you know. And you don't know this, but see, you did her a favor. But could you do a favor like that? And the answer is no. Because every time you give anything, it is totally given. You gave to that person who you thought would enjoy a meal, right? You gave to the person you thought would enjoy. Could it ever be used in any other way? No. Could anything ever be done in an improper way with anything in which you're involved? No. Do you love everybody with a heart that's just flowing out, giving, 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 giving? When you love people like that, could you ever check to see if they've used it? Could you ever check to see if they appreciate it? No. It doesn't work that way. When you give without limitation. You give unconditionally. And because you give unconditionally, then it's all yours. Now, can you see? This is your problem. This is your problem. Your problem is one of giving, giving, giving. And that's a nice problem. But the things that make you unhappy is it being properly received? And now you want to get yourself out of there. You had a lady that you worked with recently, and that lady was a little difficult at times, you know. And so you gave her your love, but instead of giving her your love and then running away, you gave her your love and you sat around and listened to her as she appreciated it. And because you did that, your love didn't have a chance to do its job. You know, if you love someone, you give them whatever you wish, and then you run away before they give you a chance to say thank you. Because if you give them a chance to say thank you, then you've got your gift back again. and you don't want your gift back. You want to give it freely and totally. Now, we'll be talking more about this, Irene, but I'm just giving you a little inkling of where you stand. Now, Ingeborg, where do you stand? Where do you stand on this? Ingeborg, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that sees in everybody something good and you want to bring it out? Do you see beauty in everyone and want to bring it out? Do you see love in everybody and you want to bring it out? Do you want to see good in everybody and you want to bring it out? Is that what you do? Now, you see, you're hesitant to answer that because these are striking chords in you. Now, what do you think? What do you think? Do you think that you can be a total love? Do you think that you can be a total love without expecting anybody to be loving in return? See, that's, you recognize it's similar for all of us, pretty much. Can you be totally loving without expecting anything in return? You see, when you are to that stage, then you're teaching your white stem cells, these brand new, newborn stem cells in your brain, you're teaching them what? Non-possession. You're teaching them to give. You're teaching them to be generous and loving and fantastic. And when you do that, great things happen. Again, we'll go into that more in a few minutes. And Rochelle, where do you stand on this pillar of love? I think Rochelle is like the stability of the pillar itself. She is like the wax that Heinz pours, and I think Bailey is a wick in your wax. Bailey is a wick, not only one. You have lots of wicks in your wax. You have your mommy and your daddy, your sister, you have Gregor, of course, you have other people who you love. They're all wicks in your wax. Now, some of them you encourage to burn, and some of them you don't. And some of them you see a problem, and some of them you don't. But I have a feeling about you that if, being as you do, you know the length of everybody's wick, that if you see a wick that is short, you'll dive under there and tie another wick to it and make it as long as all the rest of them. Now, that doesn't make sense to you at the moment, but it will. You are not an extender, but you are one who sees everyone with not an equal chance, but everyone with an opportunity to do everything that they choose to do. And I think it starts out with Bailey, and then you. But it's kind of wonderful. Now, think about these things. Now, how are you going to work in your life with what tools you have? You have the greatest tool in the world, and that is a belief in yourself. I'm sharing with you in our affirmations, which we want to write a number of them, but I'm sharing with you in our affirmations that we want to speak our affirmation of truth about ourselves. We want to speak our affirmation of truth. Now, we spoke of this before, we'll speak of it 100 times more. When Bailey comes home from school, and she's 11 years old, and she's so proud of her score that she got on her test, and she shows it to you, and she says, "Look, Mommy, look what I did in school today." And she got a great big fat A on her. And Mommy said, "Wow, wow, that's great." But Mommy says, "Wow, that's great, but I know you can do better. You know, I know what you can do. I know where your magic is, and I expect you to do better." Now, what's going to happen when Rochelle has that kind of thinking with Bailey? What's going to happen is Rochelle is never going to be satisfied with Bailey. She's never going to think she's the greatest. And Bailey is going to have this intuitive feeling that she doesn't satisfy her mother. Now you say, well, gee, that's not very nice, but that's true. That's true. Whenever we compare anybody to anybody else, we are belittling ourselves and belittling them. Every one of us is worth standing on our own feet. Every one of us is worth being the majestical magic people that we are. Every one of us. Every one of us is worthy of being who we are. Now, I get after you oftentimes on this. I'll say, all right, Ingeborg, tell me why you have two left socks on your feet. And then Ellen speaks up and she says, well, that's because that was all that I put in her drawer. And Sylvia would say, well, she probably wasn't looking when she took the socks. And Gregor would probably say, well, because she wanted to wear two left socks, that's why she did it. And she got a right to wear two left socks if she wants to wear two left socks. And now, well, what's going on here? In the first place, there's judgment. Judgment of what she's doing. And in the second place, there's condemnation or support. Either one is just as bad. To support anything is terrible. To condemn it is terrible. Why? Go ahead.
It's judgment.
Yes, that's right. Condemning it or blessing it is a judgment. You say, well, you can't even bless something? That's right. That's right. Do you bless your husband or wife or your children? Do you bless your family? Do you bless people in your world? If you do, you're judging them. Because you are recognizing something that you believe is not true about them. I bless you, and I see all well in your world. Now, if I see all well in your world, why would I bless you? Why would I think you need a blessing? Why would I think that you need this, you know? Why would I think it? I told you about one of our ministers at the United Church of Religious Science. He was working at headquarters, and the president of the United Church asked him to treat for the success of the Congress the next day. And he told the president he wouldn't do it. Why wouldn't he do it?
It was already done.
Why don't you say that again?
It was already done.
He already did. Not it was already done. He already did. He already treated for that. And the president, oh, okay, you know. But, you know, why didn't you just say, I will? Instead of, I won't. Because he won't. He would not treat for something that he had already treated for. Is your child going to be a success in school?
It already is.
My child is a success in school. It's not that it's going to be. It's not that something that you want to be or something that you're putting a cause in motion for. You don't do that. Your child already is a success. You see, this is such an important point for us because we are so used to playing around with it. Now we're going to dig a little bit here. Here, let's just take this guy right here. We'll take this guy right here. See? He doesn't really look this bad. But it's a black and white of a brain, and they're putting chips in to do different things. And the chips are for mind over matter, where his brain becomes magnificent in figures, deep research clinics, the pacemaker and the chest and that and the brain, memory chips, but anyhow, see many wonderful things. Now, here, this guy would like to be brilliant. This guy would like to be, what would he like to be? He'd like to have great knowledge. He'd like to have deep brain stimulation, mind over matter and memory chips. He'd like all those things. Not bad, huh? And they exist. And so they slip them right in, and then they conduct the brain, they control the brain. Wonderful, huh? Just think how beneficial that's going to be for people when they can do that. What's wrong with that picture?
You don't
need chips. Why don't you say it louder?
You don't need chips.
He has all these things already.
They're already.
You don't need chips because you got it already. What's going to happen if he depends on the chips? He will depend on the chips. Now, what does he have up here that he can depend on better than the chips? The 10,000 stem cells born every day. So every day he has these 10,000 stem cells put into his brain, every day. And what is he going to do? He's going to program them. And now listen to me very carefully, because this is stupid what I'm going to say. You got to program your stem cells so that your stem cells know what to do. You got to program your stem cells so your stem cells know what to do. And anyone can correct me when they want to. You got to program your stem cells so your stem cells know what they are supposed to do.
The stem cells already know what to do.
The stem cells already know what they want to do and what they can do, should do, and what have you. How?
Because they are pure. They're
if they're pure, how are they already programmed?
They are original purity and integrity. That's their nature.
Oh, they're the original purity and integrity, which is all wisdom, all knowledge, and all beingness.
Yeah.
They're already programmed.
They're already programmed.
You just have to be activated.
In other words, that's a good way of saying it, but it's not a good way. They're already programmed, and we activate them. They are already one as universal knowledge, and we recognize it. We reveal it, or they reveal it. They are all, you see, if they're already programmed, what happens to us? What happens to them? If they're already programmed, then that means that the program is all done. But if you say they are one in and as all knowledge, all wisdom, you see, then they don't have to be programmed in X and programmed in Y and programmed in Z. They are programmed in all, and if you say all, then that's good, but it's not really programmed in it. They are all. They are all, and this is what we want to take advantage of.
So we basically have to accept this purity.
We have to.
Instead of trying to program in different things.
We have to accept that we are putting a cause in motion using causes that we don't understand, using information we don't understand. Now, tell me what 2 times 2 is. 4. Tell me why 2 times 2 is 4. Yeah. Tell me why 2 times 8 is 16. Tell me why 2 times 16 is 32. Well, tell me why all these things. Tell me. Tell me why. Tell me why. Tell me. Now, zoom, zoom, zoom. We don't know. We put the cause in motion, and the effect follows. When a child will learn mathematics by saying 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, by the time he has learned that, he has learned mathematics. You say, well, how can that be? Well, you try it. Try it. When did you learn 2 times 16 is 32? When did you learn 2 times 999,000 million billion trillion is X, you know, to the 10th power? When did you learn that? When did you learn that? When did you have an idea of what that means? You don't. You know, some of you are a little gifted, but not too gifted, because Rochelle and Ingeborg, no, not just Rochelle and me and Rochelle, that's all. We are not limited like you guys are. We think in measurements and we think in measurements simply and wonderfully. But you guys, the poor guys, they think in measurements in kilometers and in miles, you know? And so always you're thinking, I wonder how many kilometers that is. Now, how many miles is that, you know, or how many miles is that, or how many kilometers is that? And you're going back and forth. We don't care about the kilometers. We just have no interest because it's not one that's required of us, you follow? But they were raised in kilometers, and now they must know miles because they can't go kilometers per mile, per hour. If they go kilometers per hour, they're going to find you go slower, right? Yeah. And so we would go 100 miles an hour, and they'd be going like 60 kilometers an hour, which is kind of interesting. Now, how do you judge? How do you judge? Ellen, I want you to go in town and pick up some carrots. Now, how long is it going to take you to go in and back? Well, let's see, if I go 150 kilometers an hour, or kilometer, whatever you say, I can do it in about 2 hours, you know. And well, how much would it be if you went in miles? Well, that's about 140 miles, 140 miles round trip, you know. So that's about the same as before. But you see, we have these things going on in our brain, and so they're not important. They're not important. We just say, "I know." Now, Ellen, you don't have an alarm clock. You don't have anything to tell time with. You have nothing that's going to help you. And I say, Ellen, I want you to open that door at the crack of 2:30 in the middle of the morning. You don't have anything going on. You have no windows, no light, no nothing. At the crack of 2:30 in the morning, I want you to stand up and come out that door. Now, do you think she could do it without a clock? Certainly. She has an inner clock, an inner watch. Now, Ellen, I want you to come out of that door exactly at 2:30 in the morning. And so then I put you in this room, in this cabin, and I fly you around the world, and then I want you to come out, only come out if it's 2 o'clock. And what do? You come out at 2 o'clock. It doesn't matter that you've gone around the world. It doesn't matter that time and other things have been affecting you. It doesn't matter. You see, you are on the concept of coming out at what this person perceives as 2 o'clock. Not what your watch says, not what anything else says. Because your watch may be wrong. Your watch may say 2:30 when it's really 2:45. And so then you'd be coming out late. Now, we are all dealing with unknowns. And the unknowns are all information, all things. We want to train ourselves so that we can live with these unknowns without knowing that they're unknowns. Now, how do you train with something that's unknown if you don't know that it's unknown and you don't know and it is unknown to be known? How do you train with that? Well, same thing we did here. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. Next thing, you can do all the multiplication tables. You know. Once you get the principle of subtraction, the principle of addition, the principle of multiplication, the principle of division, the principle of math, you can do all math. And you don't understand it. Why is one a one? And why does it refer to one object? Why is a 1 a 1? Why is a 1 and a 0 the code system for all computers? No answer? Do you know why 1 and 0 are the code system for all computers, Heinz? Don't Don't give yourself a hard time because somebody said so. No, really, just because somebody said so. Somebody said, this is this and this is this. Now, you could take a candy bar and you could take a chocolate bar and a hard bar and put the two together and say, this is a one and this is a zero. And so every time you would be looking for ones, you'd be looking for those little mints, you know. Every time you're looking for zeros, you'd be looking for chocolate. And you wouldn't think of it as chocolate, you'd think of it as a zero, remember? I want to befuddle you as much as I can as we begin here, because I want you to realize all the things, all the sacred cows that you have in your life are not valid. They're really not valid. All of these things that you have learned to believe in and follow and think they're so dependable, they're not real. They're not real because it is not so. I told you the story about the man who created the Big Bang Theory and told the Big Bang story to his children. He created it. No. Is he right? Is he wrong? Who cares? If everyone believes that he's right, then he's right. If everybody believes that he's wrong, even if he's right. And that's a very powerful statement to make. Now, let's think now. We're going to go back to our stem cells. And our stem cells are wonderful, pure, vital, dynamic essences. And just think. Just think. If you can have this concept in your mind and have it clearly, you're a genius. I'm telling you. Now, just think. What is your brain made up of?
Stem cells.
I'll play the game before stem cells. What is your brain made of before stem cells? What? Before we knew about stem cells, what is your brain made of?
Undifferentiated matter.
No, your brain is made of differentiated matter. Your brain is made of cells that know what to do. They're cells that help you see, they help you hear, they help you walk, they help you talk, they do all that. They are differentiated cells. They have been given a job. All the cells have been given a job. Every cell has something important to do, even if it's only to take a nap in the special nap chair, you know. But, yeah, we'll talk about that more later. But every cell has been given a task to do. Okay, now. Sylvia, I want you to go into the kitchen and take an apple, an orange, a pear, a pineapple, a lemon, a lime,
a plum.
Don't help me, please, on this. But take all this stuff. And then I want you to put it all together and not squeeze it or anything, just put it all together like a brain might be. Now, what is going to come out of that brain? If something exudes from that brain, if something comes out of that brain, which is made up of all that fruit, what's going to come out? Fruit juice, huh?
Cocktail.
Cocktail, right. What did you say?
Cocktail.
You said a cocktail? Now, what is a cocktail?
Mixed.
It is mixed. It is mixed. Now, see, that's what's coming out, according to Mr. Greger here. A mixed drink. If that is true, and if that is the logical expectation, what should come out of our brains, oozing out of our brain every day, what should ooze out of our brain? Cells that are a mixed cocktail, you know. Mm-hmm. Cells that what should ooze out is reading, thinking, seeing, hearing, talking, all these different things, you know, just sort of a kaleidoscope of all those wonderful things. Now, isn't that something? Okay, now. But instead of that, Rochelle, instead of that, what comes out? If you don't know, it's okay.
What we choose.
Huh?
What comes out is what we choose.
What comes out of our brain, the physical brain, what oozes out of the physical brain every day? Stem cells. The stem cells. Scientists tell us that there are 10,000 stem cells oozing out of our brain every day. Now, think of this. A stem cell is tinier than the head of a pin. Very, very tiny. Any cell is tiny. Okay, now, in it, it has the standard cell material. But it has oozed out from behind the vision center of the brain, okay? So these cells are coming out of the vision center of the brain. What, presumably, should these cells be doing? They should be vision-oriented, right? But they're not. What are they? Ingeborg, what are those cells coming out of the... what are those cells?
Vision cells.
I'm sorry?
Vision cells.
They are undifferentiated cells. They are undifferentiated cells. They are cells that have not been given a job to do, even though they came out of the sight center or the hearing center or speaking center of the brain, you know? They have not been given something to do. Now, how can that be? Gregor gave us that fruit cocktail just because the fruits were all together. But now we have cells that are coming out, coming available to us, pure, perfect, fantastic, glorious. You see? How can that be? How can that be? Is there a principle working in our brain that we are unaware of? Is there a principle working in our brain that allows us to manufacture undifferentiated stem cells from our brain? And the answer has to be yes. Somewhere we manufacture them. Or God just poofed them out of us. Yeah. God just poured them out of our being. Did God create us? Does God ever stop creating us? Do we ever stop growing big or short or whatever we do? What are we doing? Think about it. Now, I'm saying this because I want you to be confused. I want you to say, well, why would that be? Why would that be? Why, out of this very mixed up brain, comes this pure, undifferentiated matter? Pure. Why does it come forth? What brings it forth? How does it come out? You got to know that. Now, how does it come out? This is a great question. We may or may not have the answer. But when we come back from our pause, we're going to see if we can come up with some sort of an understanding of how and why the brain cells are able to produce, out of confusion, the undifferentiated, pure stem cell. Think about those things and come back at... we started at 9:30, so come back at 10:30 and we'll go on with... No, Ellen, say when.
What is it now?
I'm sorry, Ellen.
What's the time now?
10:20.
Oh, okay. 10:20.
It's
10:30, fine.
I'm so happy you approve. But thank you. We'll come back at 10:30 and continue with our thinking together. Thank you.
Thank you, Herb.